So we ready to get started?
Let's.
Mm-hmm. Let's call the meeting to order. And the first is Pledge of Allegiance with Juno Kim. So if you can stand, if it's possible, and I don't know if we have a flag or anything.
I don't.
There we go.
There we go.
Okay, Juno.
Is there any way you can go ahead and do this for me?
Oh, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. So good morning to everyone once again, and roll call will be with Carolyn.
Okay, Linda Barcelona. Just a second, I'm trying to do it straight onto the thing. Wait.
You can unmute while we're here.
I know how I'll do it. I'll just have to do it on paper this time. Okay, Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick.
Present.
Helen Cameron.
Present.
Jerry Chang.
Present.
Gary Frazier.
Present.
Nancy Herman.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Ellen Inman. Present. Juno Kim.
Here I am.
Tish Leone.
Here.
Scott Quinlan.
Present.
Scott is here. Oh, good, because I can't see anybody right now. Jeanette Revilla.
Present.
Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Kesloff.
Present.
Cynthia.
Present.
John Ulrich. Jennifer Wang. So the two absences I have are John Ulrich and Jennifer Wang. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Carolyn. The next thing is introductions. Do we have anyone to introduce today? How about Todd?
Yes, I'll do a self-introduction.
Okay.
Good morning, this is Todd Cottle with CNC Development, and I'm here to just make a brief presentation on an affordable senior community that we have under development.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll get
Andy,
to
you. Gary is,
what?
Gary is here, prepared to give you a little bit more background on Todd, if you'd like.
Oh, that. Good. We didn't see you, so we got going, but go ahead, Gary.
Sure. Well, I'm just delighted that Todd could make time in his schedule to present to the committee. Todd's with CNC Development. He is the second C, I would call him, of CNC. The business was started more than 30 years ago, by other members of his family. Very strong roots in the city of Orange. The business is now located in Tustin. Started out doing a variety of property types, condominiums, single family homes, retail and office. But since Todd has joined the company in the last 15, 20 years or so, the focus has become very much affordable housing. Still doing quite a bit of activity in the city of Orange, but I know he's done several projects in city of Santa Ana. And I've heard him talking recently about making presentations in the Inland Empire before public bodies. So the regional influence is growing. CNC Development is a full service real estate development company. They do acquisition rehab in addition to new construction. They also have a construction business and a property management business that they use with discretion. And I commend them for that in using their expertise where the owner's intensive involvement with construction or management is necessary. Last time I heard Todd speak, they had never sold a property that they developed. Again, a commendable action. They're very dedicated to the communities that they develop and the neighborhoods that they operate in. They work closely with cities on housing goals and what's called inclusionary housing, where some ordinances require an affordable component to every sort of housing that's built. And of course, they focus very much on creating enjoyable and productive living environments for their residents. So with that, Todd Cottle, thanks for being with us, Todd.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it. And hopefully folks can hear me well. I'm actually, I apologize. I'm sitting in my vehicle. If that wasn't easy to tell, I'm getting ready. We've got a project walk with one of our local city partners, their city manager. So Mr. Hernandez would be familiar with the site probably and the person that I'm meeting with. But yeah, thank you, Gary, for the introduction and appreciate it. You, as Gary had mentioned, we're in the business of developing affordable housing and have been doing it for quite some time. And we do. And we, in addition to providing housing for seniors, provide housing for families, have partnered with many of the local cities, worked with Rebecca, I know, during her time when she was over at Santa Ana for many, many years, and with Councilmember Hernandez in the city of Yorba Linda right now. And that's in particular, that's the project that I was going to speak to for a little bit of time today, not to take up too much of your time, but appreciate the opportunity to join you guys here. So I'm going to take over the screen here, and I've just got a brief presentation in regards to this particular project, but really with the focus and walking you guys through the project, the design, how we approach it, how we look at it, but then also just what the timeline is associated with the development of this particular community, which, you know, tends to apply to a lot of the communities that we work on, just the process that we go through. And, you know, I think I was naive when I first got in the business thinking that, you know, these things happen overnight, but they do not, as I quickly learned, and it's definitely a marathon. There's certain parts of going through this process where there are sprints that go on for different portions, but to get through from start to finish is, you know, a little bit more of a lengthy process, you know, working through entitlements, working with your local city partners, and then going through the construction process. So let me click on this. So if folks can see what we're looking at here, looking at the And so what we have here, so the community to speak with you folks on today is the Altrudi Lane Senior Community. And this is a project that is active. It's under construction. Project is being done in partnership with the city of Yorba Linda. And we mean that when we say partnership. You know, we partner with cities. Every city, obviously, in jurisdiction, including the county, have certain obligations to provide affordable housing for their residents, but cities can do it in various ways, serving various populations. It can be new construction, it can be rehab, can be families, seniors, special needs, permanent supportive housing. We try to do as an organization, and working with our limited resources that we have at the county level, at the city level, even at the state level, is really try to work with our local city partners to meet their housing goals, their housing production requirement goals, and do it in a way that is not only, you know, palatable to the city, what they want to see, but also something that works well with the surrounding community. And we'll give a little bit more insight into that comment as we go through this presentation. This project is a joint venture with CNC Development and Orange Housing Development Corporation. Orange Housing Development Corporation is a nonprofit, 501c3, our nonprofit partner in the production of a majority of the affordable housing projects that we develop, long-term relationship. And some of you folks may know their executive director, Eunice Bobbert. CNC Development, Orange Housing Development Corporation have been in the business many, many years and focused on the development of affordable housing. Photographs on the right-hand side are some buildings that we've completed in partnership with the city of Santa Ana over the years, but as Gary had mentioned, we take a very hands-on approach to development of affordable housing. We are vertically integrated as an organization when it comes to construction, which helps us hopefully to deliver projects and a little bit more of an efficient way, but then also make sure that we're able to put focus onto the construction materials that we're using, the quality of construction. As Gary had mentioned, we've never sold an affordable community that we've developed. So we do look at them as a long-term hold. And from an operation standpoint and delivering the affordable units to the community and to the city. So as we're making those decisions, really looking at it as the long-term in mind, we're putting a particular focus on the type of material that we're using, the decisions that we're making relative to fixtures, because, you know, there's opportunities as you go through the construction process where you could save, you know, $5 on a, you know, a certain type of fixture out there that has a little bit cheaper parts on the inside. Well, you're going to be in a situation, you know, likely, you know, 5 to 7 years down the road where you're switching those out. So we try to make good decisions up front, but we do learn lessons on every project, especially, you know, as we see technology change over time. Buildings are becoming more efficient, but you're also, as part of that, installing technology that, you know, hasn't been out there as long or has proven as long. So, you know, always learning as we continue to go through. And then, as Gary had mentioned as well, we do self-perform on the property management, which we feel as important for us as a developer, as an operator of affordable housing, helps us to maintain control over the property, over, you know, the residents, from a compliance standpoint, from a delivery of the affordable units. We originally kind of got involved in the management side of the business earlier on in our career, did a lot of tough acquisition rehab properties in some very challenging parts of Orange County, and really felt at that point in time needed to do the property management in-house to really tackle those communities. Those communities had gangs and drugs and prostitution problems. So, you know, close working relationship with the police departments as well. The Altrudi project, as we go into it, and wanted to give you folks a kind of a frame of reference of what it takes going through the process of developing affordable community. And this is, you know, really kind of irregardless of seniors versus family. But this is a project timeline for the Altrudi project. Property was originally acquired in 2002 by the city of Yorba Linda. Again, when we say partnership, especially in this instance, the city of Yorba Linda actually owned the property. Originally, it was acquired by them and then identified and redesignated for an affordable housing site in 2008. The property in June of 2008 was identified as a potential affordable housing site. And then June of 2012, the property was rezoned through a Measure B vote, which isn't without its challenges going through. And so, you know, the city's ability to go through that Measure B vote process, which is in the city of Yorba Linda, if you're upzoning a property from its existing base residential unit count, or you're rezoning a property to residential, you actually have to take that rezone out to a vote of the entire city population. So city council and city staff and their vision to go through that process and do it so successfully really teed the site up for the development of affordable housing. The city in 2018, February, took the project out through a request for qualifications to almost 30 different interested parties. In August of that year, the city narrowed that down and issued a request for proposal to 4 parties, of which we were one of the respondents. And then in December of that same year, the city selected working with Orange Housing Development Corporation and CNC Development on this project site. And then from that point in time, you know, we're set loose as a developer to go through the entitlement process, working in conjunction with the city and the city council, identified this particular site for seniors as opposed to families, and some of the surrounding uses dictated that. Some of the other surrounding properties are seniors, and walk you through that as well. But went through a process of about 7 months to get us through the entitlements. After the entitlements, as the developer, we applied for tax credit financing and tax exempt bond financing to the state in October of 2019, and then acquired the land from the city and started construction in April of 2020. And we are going through the construction of the site right now as we speak. Project overview: the project's a 48-unit senior community. And when we say seniors, 62 and above, with 48 one and two bedroom units, sites on approximately 2.4 acres and surrounded on our northern, eastern, and westerly boundaries by existing single family residences, and then with commercial uses, including a number of different senior projects, being assisted living, independent living, and then also senior condos directly to our south. The property and the project provided 58 parking spaces for our residents. And you know, we had a unique experience on this. You know, the neighbors at the city, having gone through the Measure B process, had known the project was going to be an affordable use. And that was something that the question was already answered. Working through with the city, identifying it as a senior use, we, as we talked to our neighbors, and really what we do as part of our public outreach process, we'll hold community meetings, but then anybody that's directly affected by the building or anybody that we would share a property line with, you know, we go out, we knock on those folks' doors and meet with them in their living rooms and have a conversation. You know, everybody in the community is interested in a development. Everybody is, you know, affected by, you know, one degree or another, but, you know, folks where we share a common property line with that, you know, we are going to be talking fencing, talking other things. You know, meet with those folks in their living room. And as we were going through this, we kind of met with three of our neighbors at one point in time. And the folks kind of stopped us as we got started and said, you know, we realize that you guys had an option here to pick families or seniors. You know, we appreciate and thank you for picking a senior community and a senior population to serve. And which was nice to hear that they cared about, you know, us and city, you know, putting ourselves in their shoes as we were looking at the population. You know, we chuckled after the fact because it's not too often that we have folks tell us thank you for, you know, choosing or building affordable housing. But in this context, you know, they were appreciative, which was a nice experience to go through. A little bit more on this slide here, detailed information on the site. It's constructed and consisting of two buildings. One on the left-hand side of the screen, out on Lakeview Avenue, is a two-story element, and we'll look at the elevations here in a minute. And then on the back half of the property, which abuts a single-family resident, is a single-story building. The goal out there ultimately was to provide and produce 48 units, and that was something that was decided on and worked through in conjunction with the city. Gave us some flexibility, but in the product type that we chose, the massing that we chose, dividing it up into two separate buildings, but being able to do it in a way that, and especially through a senior project with smaller unit sizes being primarily one bedrooms with some two bedrooms, just the massing of the product for senior housing looks a lot different than what it would look for a family community. A family community, you would have a large amount of three bedrooms, you'd be looking at three-story buildings, maybe the two-story building on the back one, but just different size and scope. So something, you know, here with this particular development that really blends in with the surrounding neighborhood, the surrounding community. And again, we'll get to the elevations here in a second. A project overview, our amenity package, we have just, you know, really a community that is being developed that you would not be able to differentiate from a market rate community. Will look just like a market rate community. Folks, unless they know it is affordable housing when they drive by, would assume that it is a market rate community. Different amenities that we have within the building, from exercise facility to a dog park, to a pet area, on-site barbecue facilities, and then apartment features on the interior, central heating and air conditioning, hardwood style flooring throughout the unit. And then elevator at every unit that's either going to be ADA accessible or ADA adaptable over the life of the community throughout the project. Elevations, looking to again blend in with the surrounding community. This Lakeview, but you know, bringing in that siding, those wood elements, and looking at it, this bottom view is what we would see from Lakeview as you were driving by the building. There is some topography out there, so a portion of that actually does get hidden by hillside as well. And then for the single-story building, really, again, making that selection given the proximity to the single-family neighbors out there, coming up with a single-story building. Those elevations as well. Ed briefly spoke to the management of the properties. Advanced Property Services is our management company, and we'll manage the property long term. We also go through the process of resident qualification out there, initial qualification, and then, you know, maintain an affordable community, we recertify our residents on an annual basis, recertify their income. And then our residents within this particular community, we do have a handful of preferences that are in the project as well. We have 10 units that are reserved for permanent supportive housing, seniors that were suffering from homelessness with, we have 10 one bedroom units that are dedicated to that. We do have a veterans preference within this development as well. So really trying to not only provide the affordable housing, help the city to meet their goals, but also do in a way that is strategic with serving some additional populations within the community. And with that, that concludes my presentation, and happy to answer any questions that folks may have.
Thank you, Todd. That was very good. So questions from anyone?
Well, not a question, but a comment. I just wanted to say that working with Todd and his dad and the company has been just a delight. They're very professional. They listened to what we wanted. We had seen their past history and architecture, and that we knew that's what we wanted. They also reconstructed a home that we wanted to try to restore that was an absolute dilapidated, but it has historic significance. It was where the midwife for President Nixon's mother was, where she lived. And it had been just an eyesore for years, and they cleaned that and took care of that also. And that opens up next month, I believe. And it is just stunning. And the Altrudis site, that was a decision to go with seniors. We just didn't have enough senior housing. We have an aging population, and we wanted to have a real quality product. This is a quality product. And in fact, if I were you guys, I'd be putting my name in to see if you can get on the list. Number one, it's in Yorba Linda, so you can't beat that. But number two, it's a great project. Very close now to our new town center, our new library, which is stunning. So it's got all the amenities right there. So anyway, Todd, thank you. And your dad, you guys did an awesome job.
Yeah. Thanks, Sandy. Gene. We appreciate the partnership. And thanks also for mentioning the amenities. I forgot to touch on that, but no, Gene's right. I mean, you could live in this development as a senior, and probably unless you're leaving the area to see family, unless you're leaving the area maybe to go to a specialized appointment, I mean, there's three grocery stores within a 5-minute walk. There's a pharmacy. There's the movie theater directly across the street, the library, two parcels to the south. It's a really amenity rich neighborhood. And from a walkability standpoint, the folks are going to be, you know, best be able to live there. So I appreciate those comments. Thank you.
Yeah, she has a question.
Todd, thanks for the presentation. I know I've worked with your dad. Hi,
yes, how are you?
Santa Ana. I'm doing great, thanks. And I'm so glad to see you here and that you're doing this project. This is amazing. It looked really very impressive. I have a question though, because one of the things that during the pandemic, the seniors are really struggling with technology.
Yeah.
So do you have any plans on providing Wi-Fi in your development?
We have Wi-Fi that we offer through our leasing office. And so we do keep that unrestricted so folks can have access to that and use that. And so that also ties into the common areas that we have out there as well.
Great.
Yeah, so that's a nice feature to have.
Any other questions? I had one. Did you say anything about income qualifications?
Yeah, so we're affordable community, and so the residents qualify within any of the affordable communities based upon the county median income, and then based upon the various affordability levels within that. And so as we go through the initial lease up, we qualify those folks. That information is provided as we go through the lease up process. It does change on an annualized basis, and then we qualify the households based upon that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Elizabeth.
What would be the cost for the resident then, approximately?
Yeah, so the cost for the residents based upon county median income and then based upon affordability level, approximate rental range out there, and kind of the average, and we do have
you know, some units that are lower, but it's going to be around that $1,100 range per month for a one bedroom.
Okay.
Elizabeth?
Do the kitchens, do you provide a microwave oven? The picture, I couldn't see a microwave, and seniors usually do better with microwaves because they're not so dangerous.
That is true. We've not provided the microwave ovens. I mean, we provide outlets and we design it for the microwave oven use, especially within the senior developments, because we do see that at a much higher rate of usage out there. So we do have the outlets, you know, around the entire countertop space, and then have designed these units as well. We do it in a way too, from a standpoint on our senior communities, is we have islands that we design into the kitchens. And so there's a traditional, kitchen, or maybe if you're looking at this with a family community, you'd have more of a dining room table setup. This is set up where we have an island, which provides for some additional storage for pots and pans, but then also a seating area. So you can use that island as your table as well.
You know, Elizabeth, that's a great question, and one that I didn't think about. I'm thinking, though, that maybe the city can look at some CDBG grant money that we could offer that available to all our seniors,
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about any of the other appliances, like refrigerators, or any of that going to be?
We do that. Yes, Tish, those are provided, and those are in the units when folks move in. So, the larger appliances. So the refrigerator, the stove, all that's in there, and then all that's maintained by the property as well.
Yeah. Any other questions? Well, thank you very much, Todd. It was an excellent presentation, and appreciate your working with us out of your car. I'm sure that's not really easy.
I'm happy to. I appreciate your guys' flexibility, and thanks for inviting me, and thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good job, Todd. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
It's all good to see you.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye. Again.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Okay, I think I made a mistake. I think we have to go back to number 5, which was, but I didn't see Jeanette on the screen, so.
Here.
Oh, you're here. There? Oh, I'm,
yeah,
sorry.
I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're fine.
You want to give your report now?
Yes, please. Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. I just wanted to, I have 2 months worth of reports here, and Carissa, if you could maybe help me put up September's in the screen, and then I'll wait until it's up before I go ahead and read it out. Okay.
Oh, sorry, Jeanette.
No problem.
I have October's, but let me pull up September's.
Okay. Yeah, since we were all, since we were dark last month, I have 2 months worth. So.
Okay. I have October on my sheet here.
All right. I could go over October first if you have that ready, Carissa.
All right. I think I should have let me try to share my screen right now.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say hi to the committee. This is Erica Turpin from Housing and Community Development. Earlier, I didn't get a chance to say hi during the introductions, but I just wanted to let you guys know I was on to say hi to the committee.
Oh, hi, Erica.
Hi, Erica. And I think Rebecca's in here too, right, Erica? I thought I saw Rebecca.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Perfect.
All right. So for September, so for Area 1, there were a total of 2,027 trips provided. Area 2 has 1,726 trips. Area 3 has 2,952 trips provided. Area 1 has an average cost per trip of $51.33. Area 2 has $44.26. And Area 3 has $44.91. The average trip length for Area 1 is 6.05 miles. Area 2 is 9.28 miles. And Area 3 is 5.29 miles. And the average cost per mile for Area 1 is $8.48. Area 2 is $4.77. And Area 3 is $8.49. Do you have any questions about the September one before I move on to October? Or we can hold off on the questions until after I go through October's, if that's okay. Okay, yeah. And Carissa, if you don't mind putting up the October one as well, please.
Are you able to see it?
I'm able to see the September one, but not the October one. Yeah, you might have to reshare. And okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, so for October, we have a total provided trips in Area 1 of 2,079. Area 2 has 1,850. And Area 3 has 3,149. And the average cost per trip is $51.91 for Area 1. Area 2 has $43.91, and Area 3 has $45.55. The average trip length for Area 1 is 6.12 miles, Area 2 has 9.20 miles, and Area 3 has 5.39 miles. The average cost per mile is $8.48 for Area 1, Area 2 is 4.77 cents, and Area 3 is $8.45. So as you can see, I'm not sure if you remembered from last year, you know, obviously the ridership has gone down with the pandemic. However, around September and October, it started ramping up a little bit. I think it might be impacted again around the holidays because of the spike in cases, because if it isn't the riders themselves canceling it, it's the doctors themselves who are canceling the appointments to, you know, just to like not, you know, I guess not the ones that are not emergency or super necessary procedures or appointments. I think the doctors are more often than not canceling to just slow the spread. And if you can see, the costs are a little bit up, and a lot of that is because our providers have had to include the protocols like cleanliness, sanitation protocols on top of what they normally do. Like if before they would clean the vehicles at the end and the end of the day, now they have to clean it after each and every trip, and they cannot transport as many people in the same, like say in a van that you used to carry six people, they could probably just carry two people now because of distancing, of physical distancing. So that's why there's a little bit of an increase in cost. I also want to let everyone know that we are in the process of sending out the yearly customer satisfaction survey for all of our transportation clients. And just to kind of give you a little bit of a background, we only survey the active clients. Those are clients that have at least used the service once since the beginning of the state fiscal year, which is July 1st. And just as a difference from last year we sent about 2,400 2,400 active clients from July 1st until December 31st. And this year we have about maybe just a little over 1,000 active clients. So a lot of the clients have had to be inactivated and or put on hold because they either have COVID-19, or they're just afraid to, you know, understandably so, to go out on trips because of, you know, they're afraid to contract COVID-19. So that pretty much concludes my report. Does anyone have any questions so far?
Yeah, Janet, this is Dave Tetzloff. I got a couple questions. One on Area 2, where the cost per mile is almost half of what the other two areas are. And second to that, if I remember correctly, if we took a look at the stats for October of 2019, this would be just the opposite of what it was a year, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. The cost for Area 2 was, I thought, higher than the other areas.
Yeah. So a little bit of a background. Area 1 and Area 3 has had a little bit more difficulty when it comes to, I guess they've experienced a lot of cancellations, more so than Area 2. So they have asked us for a little bit of an increase when it comes to their negotiated cost per mile. So we have negotiated a little bit of a higher rate for them. I am waiting still. I'm working with Area 2 as well to see if they need to adjust their average cost per mile. And just know that all these pre-negotiated costs per mile for all of our providers were negotiated when the request for proposals came out about 4 years ago. So, you know, for Area 1 and Area 3, I think the short answer is we've negotiated and increased their cost per mile a little bit, and that's why there's a little bit of an uptick to help pay for, you know, sanitation practices, PPE, and all that. And Area 2 is still looking at their numbers before they make that request.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Then a follow-up, can they use this service to go to a doctor's appointment or to the COVID vaccine sites?
Absolutely, they can. Okay. Yeah, it's considered non-emergency. It's just that, of course, they cannot, you know, they cannot transport, like, say, a busload of people. It's probably going to be, you know, best if it's just maybe one at a time or, you know, or, okay. Yeah. But they can, because it's considered non-emergency medical transportation. Carolyn, did you have a question?
Well, I was looking
at... Oh, sorry. Thank you, Dave. Sorry.
I was looking at the same thing as Dave. Not only Area 2 is the average cost per mile is much less, but the trip length is actually much more. So that didn't make sense to me, but I think you've explained it now.
Yeah, and you all know too that being South County, Area 2, unfortunately, because they're so, I guess, spread out, much more spread out than say Area 1 and Area 3, which is North and Central West County.
Right.
It's a little bit, they would always, Area 2 would always have, regardless of the pandemic or not, they'd always have more or a longer trip length, average trip length than the other two areas because of just the distance from everywhere. Awesome. Does anyone else have any questions? And, yes. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Hand raised.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Hand raised.
See you.
Hi, maybe you're all familiar with this background, but since I'm relatively new to the committee, I wonder if you would talk a little bit about why someone would be using this service versus, for example, in Newport Beach and Irvine, I know they have their own transportation services. So could you talk a little bit about who the typical rider would be?
Sure. Thank you so much, Helen, for that question. So the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation, I guess a little bit of a background, as you can see on the screen, it's combined TSR and MP2. So that means it's funded partly by the Orange County Healthcare Agency, which is where the tobacco settlement revenue monies are coming from, and partly by the OCTA M2, Measure M2. So those are dollar, like tax dollars that are earmarked already to serve this specific demographic. It's anyone who's 60 and above. It's for any person who is 60 and above. Their companion can have one companion with them and they can ride for free. There is a fee of $2 one way for a maximum of 16 trips for the whole month. So the target population for this are essentially any, like I said, any older adults that are age 60 and above who are, like say, who goes to non-emergency medical appointments. So eye doctor appointment, dental office, a lot of our participants go to chemotherapy, radiation therapy, dialysis. Those are the main ones that really, with even with the pandemic, those services did not stop, because those are really, even though it's not emergency, it's very, very essential. And they do more than, you know, when, if you're on dialysis, sometimes you go more than twice a week, three times a week, depending on how much you need it. So it's something that is used to, I guess, in a way, it is a little bit less stringent than, say, the OCTA access, because with access it's a little bit harder to get into, but with this it's a little bit easier to get into this program. And a lot of our seniors actually sign up, and sometimes they use it and sometimes they don't, but it's just something that it's a lot cheaper than, say, if you were, it's even cheaper than the access from OCTA. And of course it's definitely cheaper than an Uber or Lyft, and even the $2 fee can be waived depending on you know, financial status. It's something that we, you know, we do try to, you know, to waive it if a client says, I can't keep paying $2 for 16 trips a month, and it's not something that we means tests, because it's already covered under the two funding sources. So that's basically the targeted population. It's not, unfortunately, we can't use it for something like a shopping trip or going to a bank. It's just strictly for non-emergency medical purposes. So that's, yeah.
And how would that differ from, I know we fund transportation through the Mental Health Services Act. How is it different from that?
I think I can't really quite speak to the Mental Health Services Act funding per se. I don't know if they have a different targeted population. I know it's different from, like, say, the I think it's SMB, if I'm not mistaken, which is like the city ones that they offer, but those are a little bit more flexible in the sense that I think they can transport people from not just necessarily medical appointments. I think it's also different from something like what we also have, another transportation service that we offer, but that's to and from congregate nutrition sites. So it's absolutely, I think it's separate in the sense that they have different targeted populations, and this one is strictly just medical. You know, it can't be used for any other errands, basically. Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could speak more to the other programs, but unfortunately, you know, I'm not as well-versed with the other, like, you know, the mental health one. And, you know, we can always research that and find out the difference and make sure that there's no overlap. But, you know, I think overall, this is a program that's easier to get into when it comes to just having it. It's nice to just have it, sign up for it, because you never know when you're going to need a ride and you don't have one. So even if you're not necessarily a really active user, it's nice to have an option for all of a sudden, if you have a doctor's appointment coming up and you can't find a ride, it's something that's definitely available to you at a very low cost.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions? Okay. Well, I just want to let you guys know, at the end of the year, like I did last year, I'm also going to provide the report or the results of the customer satisfaction survey. And yeah, that's all I have. Thank you all so much.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. The next thing we have is item number 6, Community Resources Housing Report.
I can mention a little bit from the Orange County Housing Finance Trust.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Go for it.
So last year, the Orange County Housing Finance Trust had a NOFA that came out, and they recently got notification from the state of California. They have the local housing finance trust funds that only trusts can go after. And the Orange County Housing Finance Trust has 23 members plus the County of Orange as members. And so that represents 82% of the population in Orange County. And so we had this NOFA. We didn't quite receive as much funding from the local housing trust as we had hoped for, but we received $4.2 million in new money coming into the county. We are going back to our board on the 20th of January so that we can reallocate some of the funding from last year. And then we'll also have the NOFA come out for 2021. So we are hoping for some more senior projects that come to us for funding. And once we get a little bit more information on, I believe the NOFA will be open from January 25th through March 25th or something thereabouts. So once we've got some updates on how many new developments are coming out and how many are seniors, we'll be able to respond and give you an update on that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions? All right, so we'll move on to, we had our presentation, we'll go to chair items. That my computer might be going, I've got all these things flashing in front of me and I'm not a very good computer person. So if you lose me, you'll know why. So the next thing on the agenda was chair items. And for new business, we need to find a vice chair.
What will the vice chair be doing? What are the responsibilities?
That's a good one. I'm not really, I think that the last I talked to Elaine, it sounded like, I guess the person would take over if the chair can't make the meeting. And then I guess her goal is possibly the chair would be there for 2 years. And then the vice chair would be sort of like in training, hopefully that they'd want to take over after the 2 years. So we don't have one chair for, 10 years as sometimes we had in the past. So kind of rotating, because we've had vice chairs before, haven't we?
Always.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Were you the vice chair before?
I was the vice chair when Kathy's the chair.
Okay. Do you remember what the duties were for you?
You take roll.
Okay.
And you also took the minutes.
Oh, okay.
Now.
And now we don't have to take.
We don't have minutes. We just action. You just write down any action item that was brought up.
Oh, okay, good. That's good.
I was reading, for some reason, I was reading some things a couple of nights ago. And I did the summary every month, and I found out that the vice chair was supposed to do that. We never looked that up. So somebody has to do the summary, and I think our documents say it's the vice chair.
Oh, that's good to know.
But Carolyn did such a wonderful job that nobody was going to say anything.
So I guess the
comments. You could have done a terrible job, and nobody would have said anything.
All right, Jean. So is there anyone that's dying to be the vice chair, I guess is the question.
Well, I'm wondering if Carolyn could do it because she does such a fantastic job. I mean, I don't think anybody can hold a candle.
Well, I think she wanted to step away from having extra duties because she's kind of swamped right now. But you can go ahead and ask her. Maybe she'd like to.
Well, I would always be willing to help if there wasn't anybody else, but I was thinking like maybe Linda, would you be interested? Because Linda's been on the committee now for a while.
That's a good idea. How about that, Linda?
I second Linda. That. I second that, Linda.
Are you game, Linda?
Yeah,
No.
I'm looking for employment right now and writing letters every day for sending out resumes and stuff. So no, I don't think I could take on writing a report. I'm sorry.
Well, what if I do the report? Would you like to be the vice chair then?
Okay.
All you'd be doing is, I think, taking role, right?
Yeah. That'd be fine.
You can handle that?
Yeah.
I think I could manage that.
Okay, so we need somebody to...
Sandy, I'm sorry, Sandy, but one of the things that Elaine wants is that maybe it can move forward. So maybe we should really seriously think about somebody that wants to think about that going forward. And I appreciate Linda saying yes, but she's not. Linda, are you think you're going to move forward after 2 years?
I don't know. I don't think so. See, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a great opportunity to do what is mentoring somebody into the next position, but it's up to you guys.
Do you want to do it?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I just became part of the executive.
Yeah, she can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I can't anyhow. And also I'm senior liaison, so no.
Okay. Well, unless nobody else wants it.
How about Nancy?
No, I really am not capable of doing a good job at this. So I'm not tech savvy, and I don't feel like I have served on the committee really long enough to understand, all the technicalities. So thank you very much, though.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, I think if Linda's willing to try it, and it's just, I think all it's going to be is taking roll call. And if I can't make a meeting, you would run it. And I don't see that I won't be able to make any meetings at this point.
Okay.
You want to give it a try, Linda?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd like to nominate Linda for the VP.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All right, so motion carries that Linda will be the vice chair.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda, for stepping up.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, next thing on the agenda is the presentation schedule. So you all should have that in your packet that they sent out. And for February, we're going to have working on our long-term goals, so we won't have a speaker. In March, we have Habitat for Humanity. Dave's providing that speaker. So we should be really working on April and May. Does anybody have any ideas or suggestions for April or May?
Well, yeah, Sandy, I can always get somebody from OCT. I'm getting that for the Ledge group, but I can get one for our group too with kind of a projection on what we can expect out of senior transportation in the next 5 years.
That's good.
Kind of thing.
That sounds good. You want to try for April on that?
What's the date? April?
April 8th.
Got it. I will do that.
Okay, so Jean's gonna try. What were the acronyms?
It's the Orange County Transportation Authority. And I guarantee we'll get a speaker. And okay. The speaker will be one that emphasizes senior transportation needs now and in the future, kind of, and the trend of where we're going with that.
Oh, that would be good. That sounds great. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, Sandy, I have a suggestion.
Okay.
I know that there's a lot of new laws regarding mobile homes and property. So it would be kind of nice to have maybe someone, I wouldn't know who, but maybe someone make a presentation. I actually did a webinar that Assemblyman Tom Daly did. I think it was Daly. It was either Daly or Tom Umberg. I think it was Tom Umberg. That did regarding the laws on mobile home parks. So maybe that's something like that.
That's a very good idea. We did have a presentation on a mobile home. I don't know what you call it, but she was like over the mobile homes, some kind of a position she had.
I think she was more on the business side of it and not the actual.
Yes. Yeah, her presentation was a little one-sided, I thought, but I was just gonna say, I think, was that last year or the year before we had that?
I think it was the year before.
I think that was the Mobile Homeowners Association, which is kind of the owners of mobile homes.
Right, and maybe that's why
it was more one-sided.
Yeah, maybe that's why. So that's a really good idea. You want to call around, Tish, and see if you can, or we can help you find somebody that we can.
Sure, I can reach out to, I think it was Tom Umberg's office. I can reach out to him. I won't be here at that time. My place is now in escrow.
So I'm crossing. I heard you're moving to San Diego. What happened? I'm surprised you're leaving.
It's just time to move closer to my family.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I will reach out.
Do you mind working on that for May, even though you won't be here?
Yeah, I'll reach out to his the office of Tom Umberg's and see if maybe they could lead me in the right direction.
Okay, great. And then communicate back to us if you find anything out, okay?
Oh, sure. I will keep you on the, I will, I think I have your email address. I will put you on the email.
Tish?
Okay.
Yes.
Tish, this is Dave. Just let me know. I can help too, because I'm working with Tom's office in regards to California senior legislator. He was my contact.
So, well, do you want to just reach out to them?
Well, I've just been talking to their scheduler. So if you can make the initial contact, I could follow up for you.
Okay, I'll copy you on the email as well.
Sounds great. All right.
Super. And then June, we're dark for speakers or for meetings, so we won't need a speaker. And then we should start thinking about, we've got July, August, September, October, and November. So.
Excuse me, you guys, this is Erica. I know Michelle, our housing manager, wanted to give you guys an update on the senior development coming and that what we have for 2021. And she was thinking about giving you guys a presentation, but you'll have to let us know where you would want her to be fit for which month.
We could do July. Would that work for them?
Sure. Absolutely. So I'll let her know that she can come in July and present about the developments for 2021 and where they stand and for the county as a whole.
Right. So you check with her and then get back to us, and then we'll put her on the schedule once she's agreed to it.
Absolutely.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, Sandy, was that May for the mobile homes?
Yeah, May. We were going to do May for the mobile homes. And that would work well because if Jean does April transportation, and then the next month we'll do housing. We're supposed to kind of flip back and forth so we don't do.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, so that would be really good. Okay. Anybody else for the rest of the year? Any other comments?
Sandy?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Maybe me and the Jerry Chan can coordinate August the presentations. At this point, we do not have a particular person, but I think we both would like to contribute something for the committee. We'd like to participate more activity-wise, but the language difficulty will prohibit a little, performance here. But the August, Jerry and I will coordinate and try to find and will be responsible for the supplying the coffee and donuts and what have you. So we'll try it in August.
So you're talking about the speaker now, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you have an idea for a speaker?
We have a few ideas, but I'd like to talk to Jerry Chang first, and then I will inform you the later date.
Okay, that's great. So it would be either on housing or transportation, correct?
Yes, either housing or transportation.
Okay, great. Thank you for doing that.
Okay.
All right, anybody else? Okay, so maybe that'll take us So we just have a couple months left for speakers for the rest of the year. Thank you all, that's great, good participation. Okay, going on to old business. We did the presentation schedule. Now we have the annual report. I had conversation with Carolyn on this because to me, this is a little confusing. So we have an annual report, which was the final version. And then we have the committee goals. I was getting the two mixed up. Do you want to talk about this at all, Carolyn?
The annual report, that's the final. Wait, that's right, isn't it? Yes, this is the final one because last month we showed this to you and people made a few suggestions and I added those suggestions. So the purpose of the annual report is to say, how did we do in 2020? And then the next one, the committee goals, are the goals for 21. So, you know, you investigate. And the way we did it is that we had the goals on the left and how did we do on the right. And so you guys participated in that. And it would be annual unless somebody had, I mean, it would be finished unless somebody had a change that they would like to make. And then I think we'll send it to exec right after this meeting.
Okay, so you're asking for any changes to the annual report, if anybody has anything, is that correct?
Right.
Okay, does anybody have any changes they want to make to the annual, the annual report? So I don't hear anything. So I think they're okay with it, Carolyn.
Okay, so I will send that forward.
Okay, and then let's talk about the,
Sandy, do we want a motion on that?
Do we need a motion on that, Carolyn?
I guess that's okay. I was trying to think, we made a motion on one of them last month, but now I'm not sure which one. I don't have that.
I was thinking it was the committee goals, but you could be right, Dave. Maybe we should. Do you want to make a motion, Dave?
I will make a motion to approve their adjusted.
Okay, I want to take it back because, wait a second, you guys, because look, it says annual report for 2020 housing and so forth, and then prepared by, and then it says it was moved by Elizabeth Busick and seconded by Dave that the annual report of blah, blah, blah be passed. So it was passed on November 12th.
Okay.
So we're set. We're just like checking.
Okay.
Now we'll send it off.
So technically, should we be making any changes if we already voted on it?
Probably.
Maybe we'd be amending it. Wouldn't that be correct? Okay. So do we have any amendments to the annual report? Okay, I don't hear anything. So I think that was a good point, Dave, but I think it was already voted on. So we're good on the annual report. So then I think we go to the H&T committee goals for 2021. What do you want to say about that one, Carolyn?
Well, that's a handout, which all I want to say is I think it's too long. But I don't know how you feel about it.
No, and I agree with you because Carol and I were talking and we have six goals. If you look at the attachment you have to the agenda, and we were talking about, you know, would anyone be opposed to having four goals? Could we combine two of them with it or take two off? Because I think six is kind of a lot.
So which two would you suggest taking off?
Well, that's what everyone would have to decide. Look and see what you think. Is there any repetition or
Well, Sandy, are the goals coincided with goals for the general SCAC? And I think that's how they were set up. I think that all the committees had the same amount of goals.
Oh, they do?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. See, I haven't been on the committee, so I don't know that. Is that what you think, Carolyn?
Well, that's the way I had tried to do it. I didn't know that was like what you were supposed to do, but that's what I tried to do. Now, perhaps the executive people could help me out here for a second. I believe that the executive committee changed the SCAT goals a little bit. And so I don't know if this lines up anymore, to tell you the truth. Exactly.
I'd like to add that the LEDGE committee has 5 goals.
Oh, they do
in front of me.
That's interesting.
So there's no set. There's no set. You have to do this many. So, yeah.
Carolyn, I don't know if our goals, the SCAT goals, differ from H&T. I can't tell you that. It'd be nice if we could see a comparison of the two. I don't know if Chris has access to that.
Well, you know what? That's how I had the annual report thing set up at one time. I would volunteer to do this. If you go back to the annual report where there's 2 columns, at one point there were 3 columns.
Oh, that's right.
There was what the SCAT goal was and then what ours was right next to it. Just so if you'd like, I could just change it around and have that for next time.
That would be great.
I think that would be really helpful because I was getting very confused.
I know.
And
we added some really good ideas, which made it even longer. So maybe now that I've been away from it for a while, maybe I can see it better and see where it could be condensed a little bit.
And I think because we're doing housing and transportation, maybe that's why there's 6 goals, because there's 3 and 3. So maybe if you wanted to look at it doing 2 and 2.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I like that. That's a good way of looking. And if you look at goal number 4 is committee will participate in the senior summit. Well, there's a really good possibility that we won't be able to go to any senior summit.
There won't be one.
And there won't be one. So, to me, that's kind of a given anyway. So I don't even know if that needs to be a goal. Just to your point, Elizabeth.
I was able to pull up the SCAT goals from the January meeting.
Thank you.
There are 6 goals. And then this is the document that Carolyn was referring to in terms of the housing and transportation goals.
I remember, I thought they were in columns, not rows.
Well, they are.
I mean, not that it matters, but yeah, I think.
If you go back to the SCAC ones, they have the big one. Yeah, they have this. I was trying to put it on one piece of paper.
That's why you did it in columns.
Yeah, well.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, but I tried to put it, to make it coincide with these or reflect these so that we would be helping the SCAC do their big goals. You know, this would be our part of doing that. But then if we want to look at them side by side, then the annual report column thing is really easy to see that then. I don't know. It's up to you.
It might be easier to read.
Yeah, I think, and also this, the font lit then ended up really little. I mean, I think this is hard to read. So if you'd like, I'll just fix that for next month.
Oh, thank you, Carolyn. I appreciate
that. We want to be moving. Well, it's only January. It's okay if we, if we settle on them in February. That's not bad.
Okay. Any other comments on that then? Okay, so we're going to continue to work on that a little bit. Just for my own sake, though, going back a little bit, somehow I think we need to be prepared for next month because we don't want to just sit and look at each other and say, well, we're going to, for February, where we're going to work on our long-term goals. Do you want to make assignments or anything, Carolyn, to help you with that? Or do you just want to leave it wide open and let everyone talk about it? Because that's what we have down for February. We don't have a speaker. So what my point is, on the computer, if we were in a room together, it wouldn't be that big a deal. I think on the computer, it's really kind of awkward, in my opinion. to have working on goals. So how do you think is the best way to do that?
Well, I have a question. Are we just going to try to decide on dates, or are we going to do more than that?
Dates for?
Dates, like by this date, we will have done this. By that date, we will have accomplished this. Is that all we're going to do?
No, that's the committee goals, which when I said I would redo them, I didn't remember that we were going to try to put quantify them more. I don't want to do that part. You know, I'll just, this is what we're talking about now is the long-term goals. That would be what's going to be taken to the Board of Supervisors mm-hmm. by Elaine and others. And that's, there's two. One is the disabled persons parking placard, that whole thing that we worked on really a number of times. I think it's almost done. And then the second one was the Section 8 housing flexibility. Maybe we don't need a whole meeting to do it. You know, I have both of them as, you know, what we've done so far. But that we did that last year, and then it was, we had it scheduled rather, and it was canceled because it was during the time that we were dark. And now I think you're right, it's going to be hard to do it this way. But we can go through and see if people have suggestions. But maybe you need a speaker as well. That's, that would be up to you, you know, everybody.
Sandy, maybe we just really seriously get them sent out to us email and seriously look at them with our suggestions, and that we email back the suggestions, and then we put them on a paper, and, you know, we can kind of eliminate the suggestions or time. I don't know. But if we do our homework in this next month and have our suggestions, I think that one might be easier to run the meeting with.
That's what I'm thinking, because just to have it open, I don't see how that's going to work.
No. We should come with serious suggestions, and you can only talk about those serious suggestions.
Or could we say submit your suggestions, yes, and then like you said, and then go over them at the February meeting rather than just having open door and say,
yeah.
Yes, can I go back?
I think that's a good idea.
In the Housing and Transportation Committee meeting right now. All right, call you right back.
Put yourself on mute.
Everybody put their phone on mute, please.
That was Elaine Genoway, okay.
Oh, well, that's still no excuse.
That's true.
Who knows what
you know we're having a meeting. All right, I like Cynthia's suggestion. What, anyone else have any comments? So we're going to have to seriously get a submission, I guess, from you, Carolyn, where you're going to send out what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would like everybody to go through and make their comments or suggestions on their own paper, whatever you want to call it. And do you want them to email them back to you, or? Okay, so we'll email them back to Carolyn, and then our meeting in February will be to call those and get them down and get it all finished.
Yeah.
But agreeable to everybody?
Yeah, I think it would be nice if you set a date to have them to Carolyn, you know, have them to her by this date. So yeah. Because it's gonna take her time to put it together. And I mean, I know this is a lot for Carolyn to do, especially with her new position, and thank you for volunteering to do this, probably a lot more than what you were expecting to do.
if we at least put a date, have it to her by this date.
That's very valid. And we'll leave that. Carolyn and I will discuss that. And then when she gets her information done, then she and I'll come up with a date. How does that sound? And we'll send it out and say we have to have it back by this date.
And just another, to throw something else out there, that when we get the email, we get it with plenty of time to read it and look at it. And
no, we're only going to give you 1 minute.
Well, but I'm just saying, you know, Cynthia said that we should be prepared, and we should have been prepared to have done it this meeting. I mean, I'm guilty. I read it, but I don't study it. And so, but I think that is one thing that we should start doing so we can have, you know, a conversation and get the work done that we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
I'll get off my soapbox, but.
Sandy, my suggestion though was to email you the suggestion so alleviate Carol that much more work. And it's just the suggestions that then you can put together with Carolyn's work. So, I mean, if you want to make Carolyn's life a little easier, we can email them to you as the suggestions.
Sure, I don't care. What's best for you, Carolyn?
I like the idea of emailing them to you.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I think we've talked about both of the goals a number of times. So it's not going to be absolutely new material. It's going to be something that, you know, you've probably said in a meeting, you know, somebody has said one time.
And the only reason it came up for me was because we're working on this meeting and I was talking to Carol and I said, I'm getting really confused that we have two sets of goals almost, but one's the annual report and the other was our regular goals. So that was the first time I really hashed over it. So yeah. I would agree with you, Tish, what you said, if you don't have a reason to do it, you don't do it. Okay. All right. So everybody's in agreement on that? Yes. Terrific. Okay. Let's see. So now we're at number 9, announcements and roundtable discussions. So anyone have any announcements? And they're supposed to keep it to 1 minute.
Well, just to throw it out there, you know, I know everybody's seen the news about the vaccine, the age limit was lowered, mm-hmm. and that now there's a site to sign up to schedule your appointment to get it. I know the city of Santa Ana, we're starting to roll out the vaccines as well at some of the senior centers. So if you haven't gotten it, get it. I got my first one already, so.
Oh, good for you. Anybody else have their shot, the vaccine? You did, Elizabeth?
No.
You got a comment?
Nothing to do with the vaccine, but that vaccine is a top priority, no question. I get a lot of emails having to do with the homelessness, the housing.
Yes.
And I, in the past, have always sent it to the chair and said, you know, for forwarding if deemed appropriate. And I'm wondering, do you want these? If not, I'm not going to forward them. But to me, since this is a housing committee, I think it's important that everybody get this information. But if you think, oh, come on, we don't want this, then I won't send it.
Well, I'd leave it up to the group. What do they want? Do you want to get it?
So do you want it or not?
Well, I personally get also emails on it's more for the Santa Ana area. I'm on everybody's hit list to get emails. So, but I also get quite a few. So I personally wouldn't want it because I'm already getting it, but I can always just delete it if I didn't want it. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with more information.
Yeah, Elizabeth, I agree that it would be helpful, I think. As you probably know, I get probably all of this information, but you never know what other people have seen. So often there are gaps in our communication, and there's so much going on relative to ending homelessness, and the focus has moved to seniors. So I think this is a good time for us to probably expand our communication on that topic. So whatever, I don't know what you receive, Elizabeth, but that would be great to.
Okay, so then I'll send it to Sandy, and then Sandy, being the chair, will send it out.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And then like Tish, you'll just delete. Okay.
Right.
No problem. Okay, thanks.
All right. Any other comments?
Well, I have a new awareness. The city of Mission Viejo, under the direction of Mark Nix, who is the Director of Recreation and Community Services, is trying to establish a new task force on diversity and inclusion. And this is going out specifically to churches and faith-based organizations. So I don't have information. Maybe Elizabeth knows more on this.
I don't.
But it's in the works now. And so diversity and inclusion certainly, you know, would ring a bell regarding housing and transportation to me. So I'll see if I can find out a little bit more about that.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? So is everybody going to go outside and enjoy the 80 degree weather today?
I am. I can't wait.
I wish. I'm on to my next Zoom meeting.
Oh.
I have a question for Nancy.
Okay.
Is there any update on a new senior director?
I didn't hear you, Dave.
I said, has there been an update on a new senior center director?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. No.
It looks like Melanie McGrain is.
But are they going to actively interview when all the centers are closed?
I don't know. My guess is they're just sitting on it for now because the center is closed and, you know, there's really nothing happening. So
probably no reason to really work on it.
Yes.
No.
Yes. And they're doing a lot of serious renovation at the Murray Center now. So
they are?
Yeah.
That's such a new building. You wouldn't think they'd have to renovate it.
Well, it's in badly need of carpeting and just amenities. Yes.
Okay.
A lot of TLC. These places get used a lot.
Carolyn's got her hand up.
I got kicked off, so I had to come back in.
Oh, okay.
I didn't volunteer. I have no idea. My question, I want to go back just for a second to the long-term goals. So those of you that are on the executive committee, what I'd like to get from you at some point in the next few weeks is okay, let me back up. When I send you the draft of the two goals, okay, what I'd like to know then is this piece of paper that I send you, are we on the right track of what we're supposed to turn in to the executive committee? In other words, they'd say, well, no, that's not what we had in mind, you know, so that we turn in the right thing.
So you're referencing the placards and the Section 8 housing, right?
Right, right.
So everybody's clear on that.
I think you're right on, Carolyn. I think that's what Elaine is looking for.
Right. So, I agree.
We're right on the button with that.
Okay. But if you'll look at what we send, not only as a member of this committee, but as the other, if there's, for instance, there isn't a great deal of research. There's a little bit, but not a great deal. It's more the idea. And I looked at the five that you guys took in 2019, and they didn't have a great deal of research either. So I was kind of copying them, but whatever. Anyway, that would be the only extra thing that we should, you know, look at and make sure it's the right form and whatever.
Okay, Elizabeth.
From what I understand, it would be helpful if housing transportation could have speakers who might set up so that the LEDGE committee or CSL can make proposals
you know, for legislation, because that's really what we're all about. You know, what can we do? Not just have somebody come in and talk to us. Okay, well, today's was lovely. I was thinking, oh, I'd like this for Mission Viejo. If we could get speakers who would help us so that we could work with the Ledge Committee so we could work on legislation, that would be nice.
Well, we also have as one of the goals for our committee that we would work more closely with legislation. And right. we had said that Dave was gonna be kind of a liaison between the two. So once we get our ideas, then he would take them to Ledge. And of course, many of you are on Ledge. You would say, yes, that was our idea, you know, and see. Now, when we talked about that, Sherry Horn emailed me and said that CSL had picked up the idea, which we kind of dropped because it felt big, too big. But the original idea that many of different, they had it, we had it, about more electric charging stations at parking spaces, you know, because especially where the vans are, because I guess they lose their charge really fast. But that had been picked up. Now, I don't know if it went anywhere. But so that's the idea, is that
I think there is such legislation in the actual legislature.
Oh, good.
I think there is.
Oh, good. Great. All right. Anything else from anyone? Well, this might go down on record as our earliest meeting, or quickest, I should say. Thank you all for being supportive and helping me on my first time. And if you have any comments personally that you want to give me, that something I did that really bothered you, that be sure and tell me. It doesn't bother me in the least. I'm totally open to help and information.
I think you did a great job. Thank you.
All right. So the time for our exit is 10:57. We have a call to end the meeting.
I motion that we adjourn.
Okay, I'll great. Second. Thank you, Dave. Anyone opposed? All right. Everyone have a great weekend and we'll talk to you again. Bye-bye.